And our telephone lines, they are open to you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, we'd love to have you join us. The number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We're going to be talking about charitable strategies for folks looking to do something with their RMDs. We'll get the details this morning from CJ and Eric. But again, if you've got a question, anything retirement planning related, we've got our professionals here to answer them for you. Again, the number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Of course, you can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And the office telephone number right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. 442-5637. And joining us this morning are CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. CJ, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Great to talk with you. Eric, how have you been?
I am doing great, Sean. Glad to be here this morning.
By the way, and CJ, I'll bring you in on this. Nate Bribey, did he pay a little extra to get that sweet placement on the website? Wow. Eric's jealous too, aren't you?
Well, that's a
maybe
tough
a little
question
bit, maybe a little
answer
bit.
On the air, Sean. Jeez.
Nate's a great. Obviously, he's joined us several times on the program. A really great guy. Really cool to see him doing great things as well.
And I should say, no, it's a good question. So Nate Bribey is one of our advisors who's been with us for about 5 years, and much like Eric Schwartz, who's on the line with us here today, Nate recently became a member of our LLC. So that's what Sean is referencing, is we now have a sixth member of our Kloss Financial LLC, which is pretty exciting.
That is very exciting. Really, really cool. And again, of course, you can get to know everyone at Kloss Financial, including Nate, of course, at klossfinancial.com. Joined this morning by CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. As mentioned, got a great conversation, important conversation ahead. If you are looking to develop a nice charitable strategy in retirement, there's some great tools out there, and we'll get the details on that in just a moment. Really cool thing too about the program, an opportunity for you to win a fantastic prize this week. Our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Texas Roadhouse for the winner of the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. We'll tell you a little bit later on in the program about how you can win that little tip, though. If you listen closely, oftentimes the question and answer come up on the program. And before we start this week's conversation, this week's topic, let's actually roll back to last week's program, get the question and answer there as well, Eric.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody for listening to our show last week on one of our favorite topics, Social Security. And congratulations to our winner, who was Jason from Cambridge. And the question was, how many Social Security credits do you need to qualify for a retirement benefit? The answer was most people need 40 credits or about 10 years of work to qualify.
Do we have a winner? Was what Jason from Cambridge was?
Jason from Cambridge.
Woo-hoo! Nice work, Jason. You two could be like Jason. Of course, listen closely to the program. Again, typically the question and answer come up during the show. And this week we are discussing some charitable strategies. One in particular for folks who are retired and managing their required minimum distributions, those RMDs. CJ, what do folks need to know there?
Yeah, good question, Sean. So when we talk about RMDs these days, it's a good time to also discuss charitable giving, because there can be some significant tax benefits for those who are over 70 and a half. But first, let's lay the groundwork on what required distributions are and how they've changed over time. So the SECURE Act, which took effect on January 1st of 2020, changed the required minimum distribution schedule. Now, again, I just want to remind everybody, our industry loves its acronyms. So when I say RMD, that stands for required minimum distribution, or MRD, minimum required distribution, it's all the same stuff. So RMDs are designed to ensure that investments in IRAs don't grow tax deferred forever. The IRS basically eventually wants to collect taxes on these accounts. Now, I said RMDs on IRAs. Truth be told, you can have an RMD on an old 401k plan as well if you're no longer working and eligible to contribute. But primarily when we think of RMDs, we think of pre-tax IRAs. And the reason is because most people are retired and have rolled over those dollars to their individual retirement accounts. But with that being said, here's a few key points. Under the current law, most IRA owners must begin taking RMDs at age 73. This was previously 70 and a half. Then it turned into 72. And actually, believe it or not, those who are born after 1960, the required minimum distribution age is 75. So think of it this way. If you are not already drawing required minimum distributions out of your IRAs, then your RMD age is either, it's one of two ages. It's either 73 or 75. If you were born before 1960, your RMD age is 73. If you were born after 1960, your RMD age is now 75. Now, your first required minimum distribution must be taken by April 1st of the year following the year you turn 73. Every year after that, required minimum distributions must be completed by December 31st. So this is really weird, everybody. I'll just be frank with you. I don't love that they did this. It just creates a lot of confusion. So the first year start is known as the RBD, the required beginning date. And it matters a lot because if you die before your required beginning date, that can change RMD schedules, blah, 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 blah. It's just so much detail. I don't even want to bore you with it. But you, in this first year that you become eligible for these RMDs, or I should say required for these RMDs, you have a bypass. If you want to, you can throw it forward to April 1st of the next year. The problem with that is if you do that, then you're going to have to double up that year. Because then that year's RMD will be due by December 31st, and every subsequent one will be due by December 31st. Many of you, your heads are rolling right now, and that's fine. Talk to your accountant or your advisor, and they'll make sure you follow the rules. But if you withdraw less than your RMD, you could face a penalty. It has been reduced now to 25%, and in some cases even lower than that if it's corrected promptly. That number used to be 50% or more, but they've kind of lessened that, just recognizing that most people who miss RMDs, it's because of health issues or mistakes. And then withdrawals are generally taxable unless they include after-tax contributions or qualified Roth distributions. But the RMD amount is based on your IRA balance at the end of the previous year, divided by a life expectancy factor from the IRS Uniform Lifetime Table. Now, if your spouse is your sole beneficiary and more than 10 years younger, then actually a different RMD table applies. But just think of it as like, okay, what are the factors? How do they come up with this calculation? Well, it's all of your IRA balances, pre-tax IRA balances on December 31st of the year before you have that minimum distribution, whatever that balance is, and then there's a table that you apply and you divide your life expectancy into that and it kicks out a number. Now that number tends to be, at around age 73, that number tends to be right around 3.46%, I think, give or take from there. And then it grows as a percentage every year thereafter. So what many people will say to Eric and I is, oh, I get it. Okay, so every year, since it grows from thereafter, my RMD will get nominally larger. And we go, no, not necessarily. Because while the percentage will grow, what if we have a major market decline, right? And the value of the assets within your IRA go down by 30%. Even though the percentage may have gone up by 0.5%, the nominal dollar amount may decline. So again, as I'm talking through all of this, I know many of your heads are spinning. That's actually normal. It's expected because it happened to me for the first 8 years I was in this career. It's just so hard to understand these rules and how they impact one another and the timelines. It's the reason why, you know, people like us tend to have jobs, because we help you follow the rules and we do it so frequently that it's like a second language to us. But remember this as well, updated life expectancy tables actually were implemented in 2022, which is good because people are now living longer, so that RMD schedule was backed off. And then there are tools that help you kind of figure out what that RMD amount would be. You can go to investor.gov and search RMD worksheet, or go to irs.gov for a calculator and another worksheet there. So that's kind of the groundwork for what RMDs are. You know, next, Eric will be talking more about how that impacts charitable giving.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. That's 608-442-5637. CJ, as always, did a fantastic job laying out a very complicated thing when it comes to RMDs. Let's kind of take that switch then and talk about how RMDs connect to charitable giving, Eric.
A great question, Sean. And this is where qualified charitable distributions, or QCDs, come into play. As CJ said, can't miss an acronym in the financial industry. QCDs, basically, these have become a lot more popular in recent years due to the larger standard deductions that began back in 2018. As a result of that larger standard deduction, a very small percentage of tax filers actually choose to itemize their tax deductions today. And what that does is it really limits your ability to write off your charitable contributions. The QCDs, they provide a way for retirees to give to charity and potentially reduce their taxable income, even if they are not itemizing at all. Now, as a quick reminder, we always tell you this when we're talking about taxes, we are not accountants, so you should always confirm these strategies with your tax advisor. But as CJ said, we help clients with this on a regular basis, so we do have some knowledge in this space. QCDs became permanent back in 2015 with the Protecting Americans from Tax Hikes, or the PATH Act. And let's just talk a little bit here about how they work. A QCD, it allows individuals aged 70 and a half or older to transfer up to $108,000 per year in 2025 directly from their IRA to a qualified charity. Now, this is per person. So for married couples, they can potentially give up to $216,000 combined from their IRAs. But let's pause here for a second on that 70 and a half number. Notice that does not coincide with the beginning of RMDs, which are currently 73 or 75. So it used to, back when RMD age was 70 and a half, but the QCD age just sort of got lost in the fray when they were pushing out the RMD age. So 70 and a half or 70 and a half is the age, and QCDs actually become possible before you're even required to take an RMD. But QCDs do count toward your RMD while being excluded from your taxable income. So let's say that you have an RMD and it's $20,000 this year, and you decide to give $5,000 directly from your IRA to a charity of your choice. What that means essentially is you're only going to report $15,000 of taxable income from that transaction. So you're still satisfying that $20,000 RMD, but only $15,000 actually counts towards what you have to report for taxes. Now, to count for your RMD for the year, the funds do have to be distributed by December 31st. And qualified charities include, you know, any 501c3 organization or a house of worship. And keep in mind, you cannot make QCDs to donor-advised funds. We're going to talk a little bit more about those later in the show. But you can't make a QCD to a donor-advised fund in order to, you know, do giving later. The IRS does not allow that. And a big reminder here, we talk about this a lot, your kids are not charities, so you cannot give to them through a QCD. So when we're looking at the mechanics of this, you won't get a charitable deduction for the QCD, but you'll reduce your taxable income overall. So essentially, you know, it's not showing up as, oh, I'm writing off, you know, $5,000 of charitable gifts. It's actually the opposite. You're not reporting in the end $5,000 of income. Now, really, really importantly, this is something we've worked a lot with our clients on. The tax form you get in late January, early February from your IRA custodian, which is called your 1099-R, mm-hmm. It does not specify the part of your distribution that was a QCD. So what it's going to do is it's going to say, in that same example I gave earlier, okay, you distributed $20,000 from your IRA. So what you need to do is keep records from the charity and actually tell your accountant, okay, well, I took $20,000 out, but $5,000 of it went to this charitable organization, so it should not be counted as income. And then they can report it correctly. But a little bit of legwork on the back end and just something to be aware of.
Really important guidance there as we talk this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, it's a great one, klossfinancial.com. I hope you get a chance to check that out. klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will become complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. As Eric mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit about donor-advised funds. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. Their website, it is klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great place there to learn more about the team at Kloss Financial, also learn about their separate divisions, as well as an opportunity to stay current and sign up for their weekly Market Pulse newsletter. That available to you at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. I heard the term donor-advised funds in the last segment. And CJ, let's talk about what they are and how those can help as well when it comes to saving on taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's shift from those QCDs to donor advised funds. You know, as Eric was just talking there, one thing I wanted to clarify is we, meaning Eric and I, are not your accountants. We don't file your income taxes for you. However, we actually do have an enrolled agent on staff, and we do now. And just within the last year, we now provide tax prep work for clients of the organization. We don't just do it for the general public. It's meant for our existing wealth management clients, but that's one kind of just clarification for our listeners. But yes, as we shift from QCDs to donor advised funds, which again, back to the acronyms, are DAFs for short. A DAF is a charitable investment account held at a financial institution or a community foundation. While these QCDs are great for IRA owners over 70 and a half and older, DAFs offer another kind of different tax-efficient giving strategy, especially for those looking to donate appreciated assets or those who are looking to bunch donations into one tax year. So let me just kind of describe at a high level where this fits in. If you are over 70 and a half, and drawing money out of an IRA, and you are looking for ways to reduce your taxable income, or maybe you're over 73 and you have required minimum distributions and looking for a way to reduce your taxable income, then QCDs are absolutely your first stop to accomplishing that. That's what Eric was just talking about. Absolutely, bar none, that's what you need to do. But if you're not yet those ages, so you're not required to pull money out of your IRAs yet, and so maybe you aren't for that matter, but you're still looking to get a benefit for your charitable donations. But it turns out when you talk to your accountant says, yeah, but CJ, you're not giving enough. You don't have enough itemized deductions to exceed the standard deduction. Mm-hmm. Well, that is where donor advised funds come in. Because a donor advised fund think of it as an intermediate step between you and the end charity where you want it to go, but you can give a large amount to this intermediate step in order to exceed the standard deduction. So a simple example of this would be, if the standard deduction for me is, I'm just going to use a round number, $30,000, that's a lot of charitable giving in any one year to exceed the standard deduction. So a lot of people don't meet that. But what if I gave 10 years worth of charitable giving to this intermediate step? Meaning it's not the end charity, but it's the intermediate DAF. Well, that's, goodness gracious, that could be $200,000. That is way above the standard deduction. And when I give that $200,000 to that donor advised fund, I take the immediate deduction now. Now, there are some rules on that. You can't eliminate all of your income. You can typically reduce your AGI by up to 50 or 60% or 30% if it's a highly appreciated stock. But that doesn't matter. Your accountant will go through that with you. Your advisor will go through that with you. But you get the idea. It's like, oh, so I put it in the intermediate step, that DAF. I get this really large deduction in that year against my standard income. And then in that intermediate bucket, that's where I give out of, right? So now for the next 10 years, I'm taking it from that intermediate and actually giving it to my church, giving it to the, Boys and Girls Club, giving it to the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, whatever charities you're a part of. You get the idea. This can be huge. This is known as a tax bunching strategy. You are bunching multiple years of giving into one year, but here's the key, without having to actually give it all to the end charity. You're giving it to the intermediate charity. Now, here's what's really critical. When it goes into the donor advised fund, it is gone. So some people misunderstand me. They go, oh, intermediate. So if I change my mind, I can pull it back. No. The donor advised fund is a charity. It's just an intermediate charity that facilitates the transfer to the end charity. So contributions to donor advised funds are irrevocable or irrevocable. They must go to an eventual charity. And obviously, if you die along the way, you've got to either list final charity beneficiaries or list other people to make those decisions for you. So tax benefits can include tax-free growth within those accounts. So often when you put it in there, if you're going to give out of there for the next 10 years, you've got to invest the money. So you can get tax-free growth of that money. You can put in appreciated stock. So think of if I have Facebook that I bought at a really low price point, now it's worth a lot. I don't want to sell it to pay the capital gains tax. So maybe I donate the stock. I bypass realizing the capital gain. I then get to reduce the fair market value of that stock off of my AGI with a limitation. There is a limitation on how much you can do and then carry forward to future years. But you get the idea. This can be huge. Now, I will admit, this is kind of the wealthier / higher end strategy, because you do have to be, number one, giving. You have to have enough excess to be giving. And number two, you have to have a long-term strategy of giving. If those two things apply, and then finally, number three, you have the cash to give a bunch now. If those three things apply, then a donor advised fund could be a huge advantage to you. If anything I've said has kind of perked the interest of anybody, call into our office. We can tell you more about it or talk to your advisor or your accountant.
Really great stuff from CJ Claus and Eric Schwartz. They, of course, are our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial. A lot of great information in this week's program. As always, that means you want to listen back to the podcast, and you can listen back to this and previous shows right online at ClausFinancial.com. You can also subscribe at ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. We'll talk about a little bit more about with Eric and CJ about stuff going on at Claus Financial, including the listener Money in Motion listener question corner. We'll get to that and so much more next as Money in Motion continues here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Claus and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they come to us from Claus Financial, website ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Great website to learn more about Claus Financial. Also an opportunity there to submit a question to be answered right on the program in the Money in Motion listener question corner. And Carol writes in, she says, I'm in my early 70s and I'd like to start giving money to my grandchildren each year for college and future needs. Now, I've heard gifting can help reduce taxes, but I'm not sure how it works. Can I give them without getting taxed? And does it help me avoid other taxes down the road? And Eric, I'll drop this one on you.
Yeah, thank you, Carol, for writing in and for this question. It's a great question, and it coincides with a lot of the topics we talk about on the show. Giving money to your grandchildren can be generous, obviously, but it can also help you on taxes. Now, much like your children, they're not considered a charity, so we're not getting any sort of tax deduction or immediate tax benefit from giving to the grandkids. But you are able to gift to your grandchildren without triggering a gift tax or any sort of filing requirements. So you can gift up to $19,000 per person per year, so not just your grandchild, but any individual. And if you're married, you and your spouse can actually each give $19,000. So that's a total of $38,000 per person per year. These gifts down the road could reduce the size of your taxable estate, which could help you avoid any future federal estate taxes, especially large estate. Now, if you live in a state that has a state level estate tax, this could also help reduce the amount that you owe at death. If you're helping with college costs directly, which was one of the things that Carol mentioned there, you can pay tuition directly to the school, and that actually doesn't even count towards the $19,000 limit at all. And if you're making, maybe you're helping your grandchild out with medical bills, if you make payments directly to hospitals or doctors, That actually also does not even count towards that $19,000 limit. Now, while these annual gifts don't give you an immediate income tax deduction, right, they're not charities, they do help reduce the overall estate and, you know, could keep your federal estate under the federal tax threshold and potentially reduce state-level inheritance taxes. So yes, with the right strategy, gifting to your grandchildren can absolutely help you avoid extra taxes and support their future at the same time, especially if you have a large estate.
Great stuff, Carol. Thank you for the email. And of course, you can submit emails right at klaasfinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Also learn more about the team and listen back to this and previous shows, podcasts, again, all at klaasfinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their telephone number 608-442-5637. You want to hold on to that telephone number because it's time now for the Klaas Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this in just a moment. I'll ask you the Klaas Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Klaas Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with correct answer, win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Texas Roadhouse. This week's Klaas Quiz Question of the Week is this. You can begin to utilize qualified charitable distributions at age 70 and a half. True or false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with correct answer, win this week's prize, a $25 gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Don't forget as well, that's Klaas Financial's office right here in Madison. That number, 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, always great chatting with both of you guys. Enjoy this beautiful day, and we'll talk real soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Take care, guys. News comes your way next here, 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Klaas Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The contents of this show are for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Klaas Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor, representative, and not necessarily the opinion of Klaas Financial. News comes your way next right here on 1310.